Today's Bible reading is 2 Corinthians 1, 1-11. Greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus, Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to God's church in Corinth and to all of his holy people throughout Greece. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. God offers comfort to all. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of our comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety.
Very good. For a long time, I've had a real heart for the persecuted church, for Christians around the world that are, in a place where we enjoy freedom, that they really struggle just to be able to, some people even just to have a Bible. And you think we should be praying for and supporting and encouraging these Christians. And so I've invited Gabe this morning, who works with Open Doors Ministry. And many of you, who's heard of Open Doors Ministry? So a fair few of you have a bit of an idea. That's good. There you go. You're preaching to the converted. There you go. How good's that? And he's going to share the message today and reflecting both on some biblical thoughts and sharing a bit about Open Doors Ministry. And it's important. There's Christians that are hurting, right? And while we walked in this morning without anyone holding a gun to us, we're pretty lucky. And we want to support the church around the world. So this is Gabe. Everyone say good morning, Gabe. Good morning, Gabe. Good to have you with us this morning.
So good to be here. Thank you so much, Matt, for having me. It's a pleasure to be with a church that has a pastor that really leans into the situation of the persecuted church, and so I'm very blessed to be here. You're very blessed to have him. I listened to some of his sermons on your website, so it's very great to be here. And just my condolences to the family of Susie. Really pray that God is close to you right now. To begin with, I'd like to share a story of Nadia. It was 40 days after Easter when Nadia and her family were traveling through Egypt. It's Ascension Day, and they were wanting to celebrate with family and friends, which is a thing Egyptian Christians do to kind of distract from Easter because persecution increases around Easter time. So they did 40 days after, so they thought, we're going to safely celebrate with our family. They're on a bus traveling, and all of a sudden Nadia sees a couple of soldiers outside the bus, and she thinks they must be there to ensure our safety. The bus drove over the border, and the soldiers shoot the tires of the bus, forcefully make their way onto the bus, and now ask every male passenger if they're a Christian. If they would say yes, they were given the chance to renounce their faith in Jesus, but if they wouldn't do that, they were killed on the spot there. And so Nadia's watching this tragedy, and the men are coming closer to where she's sitting, and Haney, her son, is sitting just two rows in front of her. And as she's looking at Haney, she watches him speak his last words because he said, no, I'm a Christian. Luckily, Nadia got away only with a bullet shot in her arm, but she survived. And it was 14 months after that that our team met with her. And we spoke to her and we asked her, how are you feeling? And she said, well, you might think I'm terribly angry and sad that my son made a wrong decision. you might think, I wish he would have made a different choice. And she said, of course I'm sad that he's gone, but I'm actually proud of the faith I raised in him. I'm glad that he wouldn't deny Jesus even with his life on the line. When I heard that story for the first time, my faith was shaken to its core. Because you see, the faith, the kind of faith that Nadia raised in her son is so impressive. It kind of leaves everything behind and just shouts one line louder than anything. It's Jesus is absolutely everything. There's nothing that was going to come in the way of Nadia's or Haney's relationship with their God. See, it's that kind of faith that is enabling the persecuted church to look into the face of persecution and stand firm in their faith. The pain and difficulty persecution can cause us when we hear it is overwhelming. But the incredible thing is that the persecuted church is one of the most hope-filled places on the planet. And I hope to share some of those stories with you today. Let's quickly look at the passage we read. Just a context for the passage. Paul, an apostle, is writing the second letter that we've got to the Corinthian church, and he kind of announces it. It's a response to certain false teachers in the Corinthian church that started spreading wrong news that Paul isn't really an apostle appointed by God, and that he's not really doing these things out of a genuine motivation. And so his reason for this letter is to remind the Corinthian church why he's talking to them, why he's being an apostle. And so you see the first line, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. So he immediately puts his credential into the hands of God, and he says, I was appointed by God to do this. And then he continues, and it's beautiful because he says, pray in verse 3, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. It's those two things that God is. He represents those that if we're in relationship with him, we're able to receive them from him. So he continues in verse 4, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And so you see, it's not we're able to comfort other people, but it's not because of our strength. It's not out of our ability. It is God who comforts us, and therefore we're able to comfort others. And so Paul is starting to establish this theme of comfort. And in verse 5, he continues, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we're distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. So it's important to note how Paul sets up the theme of comfort that we receive of the God who comforts. And Paul almost educates the church of Corinth, and he says the church in Greece, so the global church, that we're able to comfort because of the God who comforts us. And in verse 5, we see the reason. Because of we're sharing in suffering and comfort alike in Christ. And so Paul starts to picture this beautiful image of the body of Christ, because it's not only is the believer bound in Christ, but we're also bound in Christ to one another, to the other believers around us. We cannot act as an isolated individualist, for we are an integral part of an organic whole. If one member suffers, all the members of the body suffers, is something Paul writes to the Corinthian in the first letter. And so it's this picture that he starts to paint where he says, there's parts of the body that are suffering, but we can share in our sufferings and comforts alike because of Jesus, because of God, the God of comfort and compassion. Now, when we think of sufferings that we experience here, maybe it's a sickness or a broken arm, those sufferings, those illnesses happen to people because they're people. What's important to note in this passage is that Paul is talking about suffering that happens to people because they're Christians. So verse 7, and our hope is for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Now here it is. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Paul is sharing about troubles, and there's nowhere else in the Bible where he goes so far that he says, we despaired of life itself. They were struggling. It was a really tough time for them. Which links us directly to the current situation of the persecuted church. This is basically a current letter for the church in the West saying, hey, we cannot be uninformed about the things that are happening to our persecuted brothers and sisters. In verse 9, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So you see, it's this story that we picked up from Nadia. It's incredible hardship, but the faith that endures in this, the hope for the future, the trust that is being put and placed in God, started with Paul, but continues today. 2,000 years later, we have brothers and sisters that endure suffering, felt like they'd received sentence of deaths, but are still persevering because they've set their hope in God. And then this last part, on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. And here's the theme of prayer picked up. It's in different parts of the New Testament. It's a big theme, and it's difficult for us to understand sometimes. But one thing that is important is that as we pray, it's not a, and please pray for us, that something might happen. Paul says, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. God will deliver us. And it's an add to that as we pray, as the church prays together, that will happen. And then many will give thanks to on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. He ties it up all together with the words that Jesus spoke in John 13:35, where he says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. It's the global body of Christ that was always meant to be there for one another. And this passage shows us how Paul introduces to the Corinthian church, that through comfort that we receive by God, we can share in suffering and comfort alike through the body of Christ. And this is exactly why Open Doors exists. We want to strengthen and serve the persecuted church around the world. And in order to do that, we're calling on the global body of Christ to help us, to join us. We want you to be encouraged by our brothers and sisters, by the stories they tell of faith. And in order to do that, we need your support in order to strengthen them to continue to do that. I'm not sure if you knew, but there's currently more than 245 million Christians that are being persecuted. Now, that's almost 10 times the population of Australia. And so we work in more than 70 countries saying, let's support these sisters and brothers of ours. Let's share in their suffering so that they can continue to shine the light and hope of Jesus Christ brightly in their communities. I've got a quick video of who we are.
We are people of prayer, seeking to live by faith, devoted to Jesus Christ and his call, motivated solely for the glory of God. Open doors. Together we serve.
Has anyone seen this map before? Couple of hands? All right, for anyone who hasn't seen it, this is the World Watch List. And Open Doors has been releasing it for 25 years. And it's basically a tool we want to put into the hands of the global church. We want to say, hey, these are the countries where persecution exists, and this is how you can pray. I've got a resource at the back where we just look at the 50 most dangerous countries, the source of persecution, and what we're praying for at the moment. On this map, you can see there is color coding. So yellow is higher persecution, and red is extreme persecution. And when we're talking about persecution, it's important to have an idea of the spectrum that persecution exists on. Because on one hand, we have mild mockery, which might be something I definitely experienced in school, where it's a bit of a joke, oh, he believes in Jesus, which is not really persecution. But it's mockery about our faith. And on the other side, we've got martyrdom, which is the story of Haney. And so anything in between is persecution. And it looks different in every country because every country has a different source of the or a reason for the persecution. And so the actual work we're doing on the ground is highly dictated by the local church, by the need of the local church. And so as you saw before, we want to train leaders in their home country. But really what we want to do is work with our local partners and ask them, how can we help you? What do you need for the church to function and to spread the good news in your communities? And so I want to quickly look at three countries and what it looks like at the moment. North Korea is on top of the list and has been so for 18 consecutive years. So it is the most dangerous and hardest country for a Christian to live in. One of our North Korean partners told us that when he made a decision for Christ, he made a decision to die for Christ. He said, every believer here makes this decision. When I heard that, I was like, I made a decision to live for Christ. And there's nothing wrong with that. I believe we all made that decision. But it shows you the perspective of a believer in North Korea and a believer here in Australia. And so our ministry to North Korean Christians is we're distributing Bibles, food, shelter, medicine, and we've got an undercover radio broadcast where we try to share the good news with people that find the radio link. In India, it's one of the hardest countries in ways of persecution is rising the quickest. Churches are regularly monitored or disrupted. And on the streets, when Christians are being persecuted, maybe they're beaten or being stolen from, and the police doesn't really intervene. Which again makes me think of my situation, originally being from Switzerland, sitting in school, and when mockery happened, when someone made a joke, the non-Christian teacher would stop it. And so again, you see the police failing the core of what they're supposed to do towards Christians. Baya, a 22-year-old lady, told us this when, after we met her, when she was kicked out of her village. She said, "Don't be afraid when persecution comes to you. It's part of the Christian life. It's a privilege to be persecuted." Now, her story is that when her and her mom became Christians, her family and the village turned on her and violently threw her out of that village. But instead of running away, Baya said, "I want to go study the Bible so that I can go back into the village and tell them better who Jesus is and what he's done for us." It's that kind of faith that is encouraging me to go, hey, I can share my faith with my work friend. And for me, that's very easy. So I'm going to go with old school friends, people that don't maybe remember that I'm a Christian or don't live a life that I would call a Christian life. And so it's that factor that we get to partner with persecuted brothers and sisters that really inspire us to live out our faith more courageously and more boldly in our daily walk. Nigeria, 90% of the 4,100 Christians that were murdered for their faith last year were murdered in Nigeria alone. That's more than 3,500 people. And after another attack by an extremist group, Open Doors local partners were able to provide displaced Christians with food, oil, and toiletries. And there's another video for that. As you can see, freedom is not the norm. Many would expect that experiences like these would cripple your faith, that it would stop you worshiping Jesus. But as I said, and as we've seen throughout the last 2,000 years, wherever persecution exists, the Christian faith and the good news spread further and faster than anywhere else. We see that wherever the persecution gets stronger, the Christians arise more stronger in their faith. They stand firm in their relationship with Jesus. And one encouraging story, our team went to Central Asia a couple of weeks ago, and they met with a pastor that used to be the senior pastor of a church of about 200, 300 people. And in that country, the government started a law where it said, you cannot preach the gospel, the good news, the Christian faith, to teenagers under 16 years old, under 16 of age. Whoever teaches those kids is being put in prison for 14 years. And so the children's ministry was about to shut down. But the pastor said, no, I'm going to step down from my senior leadership and I'm going to teach the kids. Because if someone goes to prison, it's me. And it's those risks that people take where they leave leadership and maybe a certain status behind just to make sure that the young generation gets to lead worship in church. How amazing was that today? And so it's the attitude of no, we got to do anything we can to get the good news out there. Our CEO, Mike Gore, often says, if we want to stop persecution, we just have to tell our brothers and sisters to stop sharing the good news. Because the reality for them is, wherever the gospel is shared, persecution exists. And so we want to rally the Australian church to stand one, to suffer and share in suffering and comfort alike with the body of Christ. As we heard before, if one part suffers, every part suffers. It is vital for the persecuted church around the world to know that the free church in Australia is praying for them and supporting them with whatever we got here. It is crucial for us to understand the value and importance of the body of Christ. Functioning like a body, different parts, but one body. So that Nadia and believers around the world can continue to know that there is believers around the world that care, that pray, and that stand with them in their struggles. Another incredible story I want to quickly share with you. It's the story of Alexander. He was put in prison in the Soviet Union. And it was 7 years that he stayed in prison, and he continuously had the option to sign a paper that said he's not a Christian anymore and he would be free. For 7 years, he denied that. And the guards in the prison got so frustrated with him that they said, okay, last chance, if you don't sign this paper, we're killing you. And he said, no, I can't do it. So they take him up to northern Siberia and they put him into a prison cell with a broken window. It's the middle of winter. The plan was to freeze him to death. So he's been thrown into there, and he starts crying out to God like he's never done before. He's asking God, have you forgotten me? Have those 7 years been in vain? Is this the end? Have I been left here alone? In this moment, kilometers away, a woman wakes up in her dreams. And she had a dream to pray for Alexander. Now, she had never met or known Alexander before. But faithfully, she grabs her family, they sit in a circle, and they start praying for Alexander. Alexander later shares the story that all of a sudden, after crying out to God, he felt warmth in his body. He felt arms hugging him, brotherly and sisterly touches on his shoulders, and he stays warm throughout the whole night. The next day, the prison guards come in and they see a live person in the cell, shocked because the doctor was there to declare his death. And so after 2 months, he's still in prison. They're afraid of him, really, rather than wanting to kill him now. But Open Doors heard of the story, and we sent out a newsletter to pray for Alexander. And this woman that heard or woke up from a dream receives a newsletter with the prayer point, pray for Alexander, who's in prison. And now, after 2 months, she's got a face and a story to pray in. And 2 years after that, Alexander was set free. And he then shares a story of, I felt my brothers and sisters sharing in my suffering. And it's that story that makes this passage that we read in Corinthians come alive to me. Because to be honest, before when I read those verses where Paul talks about sharing and comfort and suffering, I was like, I'm confused. Who's sharing what? But hearing that story made me go, hold on. If I partner with God, if I pray for my brothers and sisters around the world, something actually happens. And I know I'm supposed to believe that. I grew up a Christian. I've studied theology. And we all do believe that prayers matter. But these stories make it come alive, make it matter that every day we got things to pray for, things to change in the world, and a God who wants to move on our behalf. And so you see, the work we've been doing has been vital for the body of Christ around the world. Last year alone, we were able to distribute 2.5 million Bibles and Christian literature. Almost 500,000 leaders have been trained in Bible and persecution training, and more than 800,000 people have received practical support and emergency relief. This is all possible through the support of Christians here in Australia and around the world. The personal letters that are written, the churches that faithfully partner with us, and the individuals that say, no, I'm going to make a difference with the finances I've got. So our challenge to the Australian church is this. Subscribe to the survival of the persecuted church. I'd like you to think of your subscription life, if you want to call it that. Who's got Spotify or Netflix or any kind of subscription in the room? Okay, I've got about 3 of them probably. Now, I want you to think of one of them, and I want you to pick the lowest of them, and I want to ask you, are you able to match the lowest subscription you've got in your life, no matter what it is, even if it's $5 a month? And can you match it, and can you support the persecuted church with that? Because you see, when we pray, things move. But if we forget to pray, it's so easy to forget. We can subscribe to newsletters, and we can subscribe to updates, and they fill our emails, and we quickly look at them. But the good or sad part is, if something leaves our bank account, we notice. And so we just want to ask you, can you consider to partner with the persecuted church? It is up to you. The amount is up to you. The region, you can choose the 3 regions that we've got the main focus on or where most needed. And you can consider that. I want to highlight, this is not about you stopping other subscriptions, other giving that you have for church or other organizations. Not at all. It's just that we believe that it should be part of every Christian's DNA to care for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, to show the world that we're one body, no matter where we are. Thank you so much for having me. I pray that you will continue to share in the suffering of our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, enabling them to continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, we'd love to. Father, we thank you so much for your precious love, for your gracious love that you've given us through Jesus. I pray that as we hear those stories today of the persecuted church around the world, that you enable us to see what it is we can do. If it's a letter written to someone in persecution, if it's finances that we can give, or if it's prayer that we can commit to daily. Father, I pray that you show us the incredible value it is to partner with our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, to share in their suffering and share in our comfort. Father, I pray that you bless your church, you bless your community, that we walk out into this week and feel your presence with us. Holy Spirit, guide us in whatever we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we've got my...